after this weekend retreat, isn't it, to have a bit of a relief, you know, that be a peace and quiet. So a typical city lifestyle is always on fast lane, isn't it, very busy. And of course, in daily life, we bound to face difficulties, you know, challenges, ups and downs. And normally this kind of, you know, the ups and downs and all the challenges and all the difficulties is always leads to negative emotion. And most of the time when this negative emotion surface, so that the easiest way that people do is to either run away or to suppress, to push it down. That is it. Because we haven't got the space, you know, when you're too busy, you haven't got the space to deal with that negative emotion, that emotion comes up. And that's normally this kind of emotion that you feel agitated, irritated, isn't it? That kind of emotion. And this is the easiest way to either run away, you know, distracting ourselves, you know, doing like shopping, you know, and doing all sorts of things. I remember when I was in Singapore, there was a lady. She's really a shopaholic, you know. She's shopping holic. She's buying lots of clothes and even whole wardrobes, even many clothes. She haven't ever even once she wore. The price tag is still there. But for her, it's just that she just want to get out and just distract herself by shopping, doing things. Then so that she don't feel the agitation, the irritation, not to experience that, not to feel that, because it's very unpleasant. Or sometimes we use willpower to push it down and then we pretend that it's not there. But yes, this gives you a temporary relief. But this is not a skillful way to deal with it. And this will lead you to more suffering. It's just like you're treating the symptom, but you're not treating the cause. You're not going to the root. You just put a dressing, you know, on top and it stops bleeding. But you don't treat the wound, you don't put in any medication, you don't put in any, you know, disinfection, or, you know, you don't treat it. But and then it's never healed, isn't it? It's always there. And this only give you some temporary relief. But this is most people do, you know. And actually, when we do that, we haven't dealt with this emotion, and it's become like unresolved emotion, and it builds up, and eventually, you know, that even you use us, we are feeding it. Actually, we haven't dealt with it. Keep building up. When it keep building up, actually, it would affect our mental health, and then it affect our productivity, also affect our relationship. You know, got upset, got angry, you know. Got, you know, sometimes when we are not in a good mood, you know, no one can talk to us, you know. You get into trouble if you talk to us. And remind me, there was an incident, and that happened, I think, more than a year ago. There was a guy that he went for a haircut. So, and then he came back, he wasn't happy with his haircut. So he was quite upset, you know. Then the next day, he went back to the hairdresser, argue with the hairdresser, like, you know, I'm not happy with my haircut, you know, like money back, you know. And then they have an argument, and somehow the argument leads to a fight. And he killed the hairdresser. So when we listen to it, we think they're really silly and stupid, isn't it? But actually, it's not really the hair, though. Sometimes, like, we have lots of building up. It's already cooking inside, you know. The hairdresser incident is only the trigger. It's most of the time, it's a trigger. Whoever come along, you know, we build up, you know. It's just like, it's like a bomb there, you know. You're waiting for who is the one to lead it, isn't it? The person, actually, it's not about that person. We know, actually, it's most of the time, it's not the person, it's not the particular incident. It's the incident, it's just the trigger. You know, just trigger. Someone says something, come along, you know, it's just boom. Then sometimes you say, I'm so stupid, we wouldn't have that. Who would who do this sort of thing? You think that you will do it, you know? Sometimes like, we think that, I will not do such a horrible thing. When the condition is not there, yes, you won't do it. When the condition is right, you know, we don't know, you know, because our underlying tendency is there. And we don't know, we keep building up. And then we running away and suppression, you know. And sometimes people use a lot of unskillful way, you know, to run away or to distract themselves. Shopping is one of those, you know. And then some people even, you know, there was another incident. There was a lady that she constantly, she cannot live without her headphone, you know. She always constantly have to listen to something, hear something. She cannot have one moment of like not listening to something. She has to constantly listen to something. And then it's get really so serious that she's like, can't live without that. Like she had over 300 over headphone. And she even have the waterproof one, you know. She even go to bath, have shower, also put that on, the waterproof type, you know. And she said she completely rely on that. And I remember the daughter said that, you know, she couldn't believe. They said, what's wrong with my mom? She's really crazy. She said one day she went to school and picked her daughter up, you know. Her daughter just right in, not far, I think about not many meters, you know, that she parked her car, her daughter waiting there, you know, also my mom is coming. And then suddenly she turns back to her car because she forgot her headphone. So she went back in. Then she couldn't find. And then she hopped into the car, she drove off, you know, and she bought a new one. After 2-3 hours, come back, the daughter said, why, you left me waiting there for, you know, for more than 3 hours. And she said, because I went back to my car, I can't get it. I have to buy a new one. So then everybody think that so strange, why her behavior so strange, you know. Then when they started to talk to her that when this, you know, when you started this kind of behavior, when you start this behavior, then he said it started when after there was a car accident. She was in the car accident with her husband and her son and herself, and then both the son and the husband killed. And since then, she find that constantly hearing something, listening to something, she don't have to feel the pain. She's actually is running away from that. And this becomes like, this keep her going, if not she can't. Because it's she was really traumatized, you know. This is sometimes we see people have funny behavior, yet, you know, we have no idea what that person have gone through. And we think we start to judge, isn't it? Oh, so funny, you know, so weird. But sometimes we cannot imagine, you know, the person, what the person had gone through, you know, the trauma, you know. She lost husband and her son. And she was also quite seriously injured, you know. And then when she recovered, she find it so difficult because whenever she's quiet, when she's not doing anything, that keep popping up. She can't deal with it. She cannot handle. It's just too much for her. So, and then she find this is the way that she get. This is her escape way. So she using this. But, I mean, that's why sometimes this one is also not that bad, but it's also not really good because imagine if you're driving constantly, you can't hear, isn't it? Actually, it's quite dangerous, isn't it? You can't hear. You cannot constantly, you know, listening to something, you know, walking around, you know, and then driving, someone might hit you. And then especially if you're driving a car, someone in the car, you know, and actually it's quite dangerous to do that, you know. It's not a skillful way. But most people, they haven't got any other way, you know. Sometimes people, by accident, you know, they find a certain way to help them to relieve, to give them the temporary relief because they come to a point that they can't hold anymore. It's explode, you know. So then it's become, and then after that, it become like an addiction. Sometimes people think that you're only addicted to alcohol, drugs. No, some other things you're addicted to that because they give you the relief. And then it becomes like you depend on that to give you the relief. And like, for example, some people like have all this obsessive compulsive disorder. They keep doing cleaning things. Because the cleaning, you know, when they do the cleaning, that takes the mind away from facing and looking at, you know, those that sometimes the emotion is quite intense and they find it very difficult to handle. So they got addicted to that. Even like self-harm. Sometimes people discover that by accident, you know, they cut themselves, oh, they feel good. And then next time they keep doing that. So, but it's being unskillful. And also, it's not treating the cause. You're just only treating the symptom. Yeah, actually, you reinforce and you make it, you become like a habit and become so ingrained. It's very, very difficult to change when it becomes an as a so ingrained habit. It's very difficult. So how to resolve, you know, how to deal with this kind of, you know, this unresolved emotion. First of all, we do from time to time, you know, we need time off. You need to find a place that is a slow pace, you know, got more space to look at it, to deal with it. It's just like coming for a retreat, like you come to weekend retreat, come to a place like this, you know. And because this kind of environment, this ambience actually is conducive to deal with that, to look at that emotions that comes up. I remember someone told me that recently, just someone talked to me, and because this person been coming to me for a few years, and I first time when I met her, and now she's got lots of changes in him. She's happier now. I can see she got laughter. Before that, she's never laughed, you know. She never smiled, but now she's quite happy. And she told me that, oh, you know, when I first started to meditate, I cried a lot. She said, no, I don't. I said, don't worry. I said, it's okay to cry. I said, sometimes when you sit there, allow that to come up. Don't suppress it. I said, in fact, crying is good. It's okay to cry. I remember that March I went to Sydney, so to attend this ASA conference. So we have a speaker from the helpline, you know, for helping people with suicide case, you know. And one of the speakers said, you know, according to the statistic, that is 60% of the suicider is male. From 16 to 30, young men. He said, because, I don't know, because for Chinese, like men, a male, you have to be really tough, you can't cry, you know? And then lots of suppression. I said, nothing wrong. Like, for example, I encourage, it's okay, you know? Even I told my son, you can cry. I told my, and also we encourage even my grandson, it's okay, boy cry is fine, you know? Because it's actually is not healthy, man. It's not healthy, you know, mentally not healthy that you suppress. Actually, it's fine. This is how you feel. But this is because of the conditioning, because of our perception, how we perceive that males should be like that, females should be like that, males should do this male thing, girls should do girl things, you know. You know, how ingrained, and we have developed this perception that we think that is wrong. Nothing wrong, you know, that men cry. Men is still human being. Either you're a man or a woman, regardless what, you know, a skin color. Mine is mine. You should have experienced that. So there is no difference. Why women can cry, men can't cry? No, it's okay. So we encourage people, it's okay to cry, it's okay to let it out. Because we feel that, oh, embarrassing, you know, if you cry, men cry, you know. Then you try to suppress. Actually, it's mentally unhealthy. It's okay to cry. I remember that there was a monk in Amaravati. He likes knitting, you know. He do also some knitting, you know. And then when he went back to his family, we see his family in Thailand, and really drive her family nuts, you know, because the family think that, what are you doing? You're a man, you know, you're doing all these things, you know, this is all good thing, you know, you shouldn't have done. And then this is our perception, isn't it? Then people think that this, you know, who said only girls can do it? Like, girl cannot drive excavator, cannot operate excavator. No, girls can do that too. You know, like our nuns, we use chainsaw, you know. It's not restricted to male or female, isn't it? So it's just how we create that perception, and we impose on others, and we impose on ourselves, you know. So it's just our, we've been conditioned that way, we've been told that this is right, this is wrong. Actually, it's nothing wrong. It's just we've been brought up that way. We develop a certain views that, okay, this is wrong, this is right. So then whenever, whatever we experience, we start to judge, isn't it? You see, because we've been told that this is no good. So then we try to suppress, we don't cry, because as a male, we don't cry. Actually, it's not mentally healthy. You know, it's okay to cry. And this lady told me, said, now I don't cry anymore. I said, it's fine because you have cried enough. I said, so you don't cry now. And I said, because that time, I said, it's okay. It's good to allow that to come up. They said sometimes you find when to meditate, you get emotional. You know, because when you settle down, when you become very peaceful, sometimes this unresolved emotion tends to surface, emerge. Sometimes you feel like, oh, you just, it's okay, you just sit there, just be with that feelings, be with that sensation, just be with that moment. Whatever happening in that moment, because sometimes if you say, oh, live in present, be a present moment awareness, we think they're so easy to be in present moment awareness. It's very difficult. You know, it sounds like easy, you know, it sounds simple, but it's not, it's difficult because we keep running away, isn't it? We don't want to be in the present moment awareness. We keep running away from the present moment. We want to do this, we want to do that. We keep running away because the reason why, because it's unpleasant, and also even pleasant also we got attached to that, and then we start to think, oh, what I can do, what I can keep the pleasant feelings, because the fact that, you know, we have this body, we have our sense base, the eyes, ear, taste, touch, so whenever there is a contact, you know, with a sense base, with the object, feeling arises that is natural. So the feeling arises is either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, isn't it? So normally we get caught with this pleasant and unpleasant, isn't it? Pleasant feelings is, oh, we want more. And then we started to think, how can we keep this pleasant feeling? Then actually we miss it, isn't it? We're like, wow, so nice. And like some people, you know, they tell me that, oh, I meditate, I'm so peaceful. So what next? I said, no next, I said. Because the moment you said next, you miss it, isn't it? You rather than just, oh, just very nice. Just be with that present moment, that peace, that peacefulness. No next. I said, if you start thinking, what's next? How am I going to do? What am I going to do to keep this peace, you know? You missed it, isn't it? And you just rather be with that. That because we got attached, we got caught up with that, we attached to that, we want it, we want it to stay. And then unpleasant feelings arises, we want it to go away immediately. Then we do all sorts of things to try to get rid of it. You can't get rid of things. Actually, it's counterproductive. If we try to get rid of it, actually it stays longer. So when pleasant feelings come, you try to make it stay, it won't stay. And unpleasant feelings arises, we try to make it go away, it stay longer. You know. Actually, sometimes we suffer more. Actually, it's our own creation. We create lots more suffering. So actually, just allow it to be. So there is no good or bad meditation. There is no good or bad experience. We like to label things. We like to judge, isn't it? This is good, this is bad. Experience is just being experienced. Feeling is just how you feel. It's okay. But the problem is we think that it's not okay. When we feel depressed, we think that being depressed is wrong. So we think that depression is a problem. So depression is not a problem. The problem is we think that depression is a problem. Then we create lots of suffering for ourselves. Because whatever we experience, it will not going to stay. I can guarantee you, I assure you, it won't stay. It comes and goes. But the problem is try to manipulate, we try to make it go away, we don't want to stay, you know. Is it possible that we can only experience pleasant feelings, happy, happy all the time? No, isn't it? We cannot control, isn't it? And even happiness, when the happiness ceases, suffering comes because ending of happiness, you know. So when our suffering ceases, you know, happy because it sees, isn't it? So then actually if we understand that this is just part of life, then we will not, you know, become the slave of our likes and dislikes, our pleasant and unpleasant feelings, and then this is pulling our nose, you know, and then we suffer more. So we just being equanimous to the yes, pleasant feelings in this moment, we just be with the pleasant feelings, we enjoy the best, we enjoy the most of it while we got it. So, when unpleasant feelings arises, it will pass away. It won't stay. It will not, you know, it will not stay there on and on and on forever. It won't stay. But the problem is, we try to manipulate. We think that we are in control. But actually, you don't have to do anything. Actually, it will go away by itself. Just be with that present moment awareness. It's okay. Be present. Be accepting, you know. So they said the cause of that is because of our clinging. We cling on, we get hooked, you know. When that is where we decide to be able to deal with that, we have to develop the clarity, be able to see where we get hooked, you know. When we get present, we get hooked onto that. Oh, I want this, you know. Then we wouldn't want to let go. We hold on to that so tightly because we try to own it. We try to own that this is mine. I want to have this. And also we try not to own it. Actually, both also, craving to be, craving not to be. Craving not to be is still craving. You know, I remember that is one of my very good friends. We used to practice together. And she'd be able to recollect her past life. So, and then she said, I don't want to be reborn again. I remember all this past life. It's too much suffering. So then she practiced very hard. And then she pushed herself like, you know, I want to get enlightened this life. I don't want to be reborn. The harder she practiced, it was. She got into really bad. She got very sick because of she used a lot of willpower. She pushing herself very hard. She pushed and pushed. She tried to sit until she got very bad headache. She tried to focus it. She wanted to get enlightened. She didn't see that this is craving not to be. So you still crave. I don't want to be reborn. I don't want, you know. So actually, you still attachment. It's not, you're not letting go. You try to get rid of things. When you try to get rid of things, actually you reinforce that until she get to a point that she was so sick that she have to go back. And she can't meditate for a while. Because of she got terrible headache and she got very. Sometimes you see how powerful our mind, we can really damage our body through our mind using a lot of willpower. She forced herself, you know, and takes her a while, almost a year to slowly recover. And then now she started to meditate again. So I hope I haven't seen her for a long time. I hope she learned that lesson. See that, you know, learn that. Because sometimes you say, oh, I don't want to be reborn, too much suffering. Sometimes, yes, in theory, we all understood, isn't it? In theory, we say, oh, we know, let go. Yes, you know, in theory, we can say, let go. But how to let go? But the mind still don't want to let go, not ready to let go. You know, in theory, we all know, isn't it? Who don't know how to say, let go? I can say, let go. Anyone can say, let go. But how to let go, you know? Sometimes we don't even know that we hold on to things, isn't it? We don't even see it. They said, how to be able to let go? First of all, you have to be able to recognize what you're holding on, isn't it? You don't even know what you're holding on, how to let go, isn't it? You be able to recognize that. So the first step to recognize that, you have to develop your clarity. You have to have a peaceful and calm mind. When your mind is still, only you can see things. Imagine you keep walking, you keep moving. Can you see? You can't see, isn't it? You can only see things you can only see thing, you know, see more things when you are still. You can see, you know. So if I keep, you know, if I start walking, I whatever I see is just, you know, it's very fleeting. It's just, you know, I can't really see. I have to stop and look what is there, isn't it? So this is when we meditate, cultivate the mind. So we establish, develop a mindfulness to support the stillness. So not aware of that, you know, develop the mindfulness. When your mind becomes still, when you have more and more clarity, you'll be able to see, to recognize that what is your underlying tendency. You know, when you become peaceful, when you have more clarity, you strengthen your mindfulness and your mindfulness more established, and your mind is peaceful. Because sometimes it has to work together. Sometimes we cannot separate that. You know, mindfulness and stillness, and this is the three factors in the Noble Four Path. Actually, it's the cultivation of the mind. It's these three things always work together. That we cannot separate. That is the right effort, stillness, and mindfulness. These three things has to come together. If just mindful is not enough, you know, you have to be firm enough, the mind's calm enough, still enough to say no, isn't it? Sometimes we're aware of that, but somehow we still suck in, you know, because our mind is not strong enough to say no, you know, to know to things is still somehow sucking. And the effort, the right effort, not effort into doing, but effort into restraining the mind. Not to react, you know, to restrain the mind. So it's just mindfulness. It's not like, just give you an example. We have someone that said, oh, I'm practiced, I'm very mindful, you know. Then one day, you know, there's someone, you know, after breakfast, say, oh, you know, there's the food, you know, is already off, you know. Then this person said, I don't know, because I just focus on chewing. So she focused on chewing. She didn't even know the food is off. Another incident, someone told me that there was a guy, you know, that wow, he practiced, you know, mindfulness. He was so mindful, I'm mindful. So I get out, I walk, I can pick. He went to have a drink, so he went there very mindfully, you know, step by step, very mindful, and then can pick up the cup, and he was so mindful that he go to the to get some water, you know. So before he went to get water, and he just really he pick up the cup, and then he realized, oh, this is not my cup. Sometimes we think that we're mindful, we are not mindful, isn't it? Sometimes, like, you know, we just using willpower, we just, you know, we are not really present, we just living the ideas, the concept of mindful. So we say, we are mindful, you know. So that's actually, and then you have to have the peacefulness, then this is how the mindfulness. You know, when you establish your mindfulness, it's helped with your stillness. Your mind becomes still. And then as you develop your stillness, the stillness helps you in your mindfulness. It's both that they work together. We can't separate them. If only one thing is up, it's just snap easily. So these three things have to intertwine together. You know, you have to put in the effort to restrain, to say no. You know what the point? I remember someone that this person is always like boosting that how mindful he is, and then sometimes he didn't even notice that he's so sometimes so angry and so agitated. Then I remember that time I was still a lay person, and I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't bite my tongue. I said, "Since you're so mindful," I said, "You ever notice that sometimes you're so angry?" Of course, I know that I'm angry. He said, I'm angry. Of course, I know that I'm angry. I can see my anger come arising. And then another person said, yeah, you look at the anger and you're mindful of your anger, and your anger comes out, you know, you're angry. Eventually, you kill someone. So But you have to stop it, isn't it? Your mindful is not enough. You said no, isn't it? It's just like, you know, it's just like a burglar come into your house, like the gatekeeper. You have to chase the burglar out, isn't it? You don't say that, oh, let the, like Ajahn Brahm used to give the simile, you know, you allow the burglar go in, you know, in, and then TV out, and then go in again, TV out again. I mean, it's just like this person, I know that I'm angry, you know, but it's just angry, but you don't restrain yourself, you know? It's just knowing is not enough. You have to restrain, you have to stop. So the ability to stop, you have to have the calmness, the peace, the stillness, you know, the strength. You have to have the strength. The strength comes from the stillness, the peace. So that's why it's important in daily life. We develop present moment awareness. Try to apply that in daily life. And then when we sit in meditation, it's help us in our sitting meditation. So when, as our stillness, calmness grow, we become more and more peaceful, and it's help us, we become more mindful in our daily life. So then you have to restrain. These three things have to come together. We cannot say we just mindful is not enough, and then we cannot just say, you know, I focus, then I don't care, I just focus on what I'm chewing, that I don't even aware that the food is goes off. That's no good, isn't it? And they said, these three have to work together. So first of all, you have to cultivate the mind, you know, to develop this, to establish that you then, you know, when your mind have more and more clarity, then only you'll be able to see those underlying tendencies. Normally, this underlying tendency, like we develop into certain behavior pattern, because it is very subtle. Normally, we can't see it, isn't it? Because it's very subtle. Unless we have established our mindfulness, when we are mindful enough, we'll be able to see. If we have the clarity. So I remember someone to ask me a question about a few months ago, and he asked me a question. He said, you know, one Ajahn told me that everything is conditioned. We've been conditioned. You see, everything, we keep reacting like an automatic pilot, you know, because we develop a certain habitual pattern, and then because we don't even know that we're doing it subconsciously, because we've been conditioned, so we react, we behave in a certain way. So then we keep doing that. Say, how am I going to come out of it? Because it's all conditioned. So, and I told him, I said, you can't. Then he said, unless I said you have the clarity. I said, if you haven't developed the clarity, you'll not be able to see. You have that tendency. That's why sometimes I told people that if you be able to see a certain underlying tendency, sadhu is very good. So sometimes people, when they be able to see their own defilements, they think that it's horrible. You know, they think that, oh, I shouldn't have this. But actually, be able to see your own, because your own defilements is too close. Very difficult to see your own defilements. To be able to see your own defilements, you have to develop your mind. You have to have the clarity. You have to have the wisdom. The wisdom born of stillness, when your mind is still, you'll be able to see things. So you'll be able to see all those very little subtle behavior patterns we can see. Unless you have that peaceful and calm and your mind is still, only you can see. If your mind busy, you can't see that. Because your mindfulness is too gross. You'll not be able to catch it because it's too very subtle. So that's why I said, if you're able to see your defilements, that means you have developed wisdom. You have to have wisdom in order to see your own defilements. If not, you can't see because it's so close. Because it's very easy to see the defilements of others, isn't it? It's difficult to see our own defilements, you know. We don't see, we think that we don't have it. We think that only others people are having it. And actually, it reminds me of this joke about these three ladies, you know. And they were reborn in heaven. So then St. Peter's went to these three ladies, you know. They said, okay, now we have a new policy. So you have to be tied to the most, you know, you have to be really mindful that make sure that you don't step on the ducks, you know, there's lots of ducks there. So he said, make sure you have to be very mindful because it's the, all over the place is ducks. You have to be really mindful. Make sure that you don't step on the ducks. If you step on a duck, so you'll be tied with the most ugly man in the world. So then these trees women, they're very mindful. They walk very slowly and then be mindful. Make sure that they don't step on the duck. And then, oops, one, the first lady, she's stepped on a duck. And then, and there you go, St. Peter, he brought the most ugly, very ugly man with him, tied with her, you know. Then the second and the third women's, or the second and third ladies, I better be more mindful, make sure that I don't step on the, you know, don't step on the duck, if not I'd be tied with the most ugly person in the world. So then the two of them very mindful. So then, oops, the second one stepped on the duck. So then he was tied with the most ugly man. This one even worse, is stained. It's stinging, you know. It's not only ugly, it's stinging. And then the third lady said, oh my goodness, I'm not going to tie with this ugly and stink, you know, the most, you know, ugly and really stingy man in the world, you know. I can't stand that. I better be very mindful. And then she really so mindful, like she need to go to the toilet. She have to take hours to reach there. She make sure that she finish everything. She walk back, you know. She's very, very mindful. However, how mindful she is, she still stepped on duck. And the moment she stepped on duck, she was so upset with herself. She says, she's scolding herself, stupid idiot. Why are you not mindful enough? Why you stepped on the duck? And she keeps blaming herself, very upset with herself. And then St. Peter came. And this time, St. Peter came with the most good-looking guy in the world and tied with him. He couldn't believe that. Oh, why? What have I done to deserve that, you know? Then, out of curiosity, he asked the guy. He said, why you've been tied with me? And then the man answered her that, because I stepped on duck. Because we think that outside, they are the one, you know, not me, isn't it? So, oh, I don't need to be tied. They're ugly. They're, you know, sting, you know. They never know. They themselves is the one who really, you know, ugly and sting. And this is how, because it's so easy to look out, isn't it? And this is the easy way out, you know, to blame. And the first thing, you know, is anything happen, who to blame? When we are not happy, who to blame for our unhappiness? Isn't it? And this is how we always, anything go wrong, it's easy to blame, easy to look out, to look at ourselves, actually is very difficult. That's why, first of all, you'll be able to recognize and acknowledge that, to see that, yes, this is what I'm still having, this is something that I have to work with. You know, I remember that I in the past, when I was in early days, I always think that I'm so compassionate, you know. Sometimes we think that we're compassionate, actually is not, you know. Sometimes we think, oh, you're so pity. Actually, because we think that we are so good, you know. Like, for example, when I was a layperson many years ago, I find it very easy to forgive others, but I find it very difficult to forgive myself. When I started to practice, I can really see that there is the underlying tendency. Actually, I can see this come from my sense of self, because I think that I'm special, I'm the smartest, you know, I'm better than anyone else. So it's okay, because they're more stupid, so it's okay. They make mistakes, so I can forgive them, but not me to make mistakes, you know. Then I cannot forgive myself. Actually, I can see that. Actually, when I first see that the underlying tendency, actually, that my big ego, actually is very uncomfortable, and I find it very difficult to accept that, you know, and not be able to, but I can't even acknowledge that, how to accept that, to acknowledge that, yes, you know, I'm not really that kind and compassionate that I thought, you know. We only live up to the ideas, the concept of kind, compassion, but we are not really being kind, not really being compassionate. It's only concept, the knowledge of, you know, what we think a kind person should be, how to comply with, you know, the idea of this image. So we are all living that image, that concept. We are not really living that understanding, that wisdom. And I find it very difficult to acknowledge and to accept. They said, letting go, then you acknowledge and you come to a place of accepting, acceptance, accept yourself. Actually, when we accept ourselves, actually we're being kind to oneself. We accept who we are. We love ourselves as we are. It's okay. Whatever we experience this moment, it's just experience. So no good or bad experience. So every experience is an opportunity to learn and grow. So when I look back, I'm always very grateful with all the silly things, stupid things I have done. But I learn. You know, there's no good or bad experience, then you learn, you know. But how we identify, we so-called this is good, this is bad, we put label that I'm bad, you know, this is no good. So I should happy all the time. If I'm not happy, if I'm depressed, then I'm no good, I'm bad. No, it's just depressed, you feel depressed, this is how you feel that moment. If you let it be, it stop. But the more you try to get rid of it, you try to do this, do that, do all sorts of things to try to manipulate, you stay longer. Actually, we reinforce that. So it's nothing wrong. Whatever we experience, whether it's unpleasant or pleasant, it's just feelings, sensation. It's just what you experience. We don't put label on that. The problem is we try to only we put label. Then we create a lot of suffering for ourselves. You know, I remember one lady come to me, she said, you know, I was being diagnosed that I have post-traumatic depression, I have OCD, I have this obsessive-compulsive disorder, and I have this, I have that. Then I said, stop. I said, you don't have to live up to those labor. It's just a labor. I said, you don't have to live up to this labor, do the labor. I said, it's okay, you know. I remember when I said that, someone said to me that when she said that day she was so grumpy. And I said, it's okay to be grumpy, you know. Grumpiness come, grumpiness go. You just let it come and let it go. It's just, you leave it alone, it stop, you know. So you can't get rid of things, you know. This is, even we stop reacting. Yes, maybe we stop react to our anger. The anger don't go away immediately, it still come. But the intensity of the anger will become weaker. It's just like the fire, if we keep adding in fuel, it will keep burning and burning and burning, it keep go on and on. Even we stop adding in fuel, it still burn, but the fire becomes smaller. So if we keep, you know, we stop reacting, actually we are not adding on fuel, and then eventually when the fire, when it's out of fuel, nothing to burn, it stops. So it stops like that, but a lot of people think that they can use willpower to get rid of it, but actually counterproductive, you cannot get rid of it. So be able to let go, actually you have to be able to recognize, acknowledge, accept. You know, letting go actually is accepting. Acceptance is letting go. You're accepting what is happening right now. It's okay to feel that way. It's not wrong. So you'll be able to embrace that, even though it's unpleasant. We make peace with that experience in that moment, in this moment. So we make peace with this moment. Whatever we experience in this moment, we make peace with that. We are not trying to manipulate and not trying to get rid of it. Because when we try to get rid of that experience, that sensation or that feelings, the emotion, actually it's counterproductive. Because when you want to get rid of things, rejection actually is ill will, anger. So actually you reinforce your anger, you know, you try to push it away. So when we accept, actually we open our heart. We embrace, we accept, we make peace, we allow things be. So letting go is allowing things be. Acceptance is letting go. It's okay that we feel that way. It's okay sometimes you don't feel bright. So if you let it be, it will stop. Because nothing can stay forever. Things come and go. So at the end of the day, does it really matter whether you have pleasant feelings or you have unpleasant feelings? It won't stay anywhere, isn't it? It doesn't matter. But how much, we think about it, and then, how much stories that we make up, around our experience, around all our feelings, pleasant and unpleasant, how much we have that, all the stories that we make up. And we can even write a book about that feelings, isn't it? That experience. And actually, it's all, it's not there. Actually, it's our own creation. It's we add up, we make up ourselves. So if we live things, then we become at ease and at peace. We make peace with every moment, every situation that we're in. So letting go, actually, if we come to a place of acceptance, it's letting go. It's okay. We accept ourselves as we are. It's just like sometimes we have these parents, they used to come to me that they worry about that children. Oh, you see, my children want to become a Muslim or whatever other religions, or Christian or whatever. So I said, what's wrong with that? I asked them. I said, nothing wrong. I said, if this is what makes them happy, it's fine. I said, if you truly love your children, you love them as they are. Isn't it? It's not that you have to become a Buddhist, only I can love you. And so if you be able to love your children as they are, then you're truly walking the Buddha's path. You're truly practicing loving kindness. Okay. It's okay the way they are. We accept, we love them, we embrace. Even though they're not perfect, we love them. We're also not perfect. It's very easy to see the mistake of others. We can't see ourselves. So if we truly, practicing loving kindness, we are not leaving the concept. If you are really leaving the understanding, what is truly kind and compassionate, so we embrace and accept the person as a person is. We also accept ourselves as ourselves. We love ourselves as we are. It's okay. It's okay that we're imperfect. I know the first time when I see that, I find it so difficult. It takes me a while, like a lot of internal conflicts that you try to justify, you try to push away, you try to like live in denial, that you try to justify that it's not me, Then until that, I know that when actually the moment that I come to the place of acceptance is such a relief. I say, it's okay, what's wrong? I'm just like that, Actually, I feel good, that relief. It's like no more fighting, because a lot of fighting, I keep fighting with myself that, I try to give myself a lot of reason and try to justify, that not to admit that, it's okay. We have to start with where we at, isn't it? And we all have those qualities. We are not there yet because we have this idea of, maybe we want to be like the Buddha, And we are not there yet, but it doesn't mean that we don't have the qualities. Each one of us, we have the qualities. It's just that we are not there yet, Usually, we always look at the yet, Then we don't appreciate ourselves how much we have achieved, how far we have come to, isn't it? Like we have, we always look at the 30%, we don't look at the 70%, we always look that bit. And then so much, and a lot of, we have progress, and we have a lot, improved so much, and we achieved so much, we don't look at that success, we keep looking at that yet, then we keep, we just complaining and then not happy with ourselves. Then actually we just okay. We just acceptance actually is letting go and also being kind to oneself. So whatever happened in this moment when you meditate, whatever pops up in this moment is you allow that, just be with that in that moment. regardless whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. You just let it be. Make peace and not try to, you know, fight and try to push it away. When you try to push it away, you try to get rid of it, then actually you create more suffering for yourself. That is the adding on suffering. It's just like the Buddha said, the wise one, when he's being struck by an arrow, the wise one only know that, okay, I struck by an arrow, it's painful, you know. You think of how to treat your, you know, your wound, how to pull up the arrow, isn't it? But the Buddha said, the foolish one, he will keep thinking, he will pick up another arrow and keep poking themselves many times. That is that, you know, you will keep thinking, who this idiot, you know, and hurt me, that terrible, on, you know. And then the first thing, if you had to, you know, treat your wound first, isn't it? You don't go on, you know. And then this is how to add on. You know, if you know, yes, it's painful. We know that it's painful, and the wise one stopped there. But the foolish one, the Buddha said, they add on, go on and on. It's just like you pick up another arrow, you poke yourself a few more times. And this is how, actually, yes, you know, sometimes a lot of sufferings actually is our own creation because of we not be able to see that, not knowing. We haven't got the clarity. That's why when we develop this, cultivate the mind, you know, in meditation, you know, supported by your virtue, purify your virtue to support your cultivation of the mind, then you develop your wisdom. Only with your wisdom, there is a clarity. When you have the clarity, you'll be able to see things. If your mind's so clouded, you can't see. You don't even know that you're doing it. You don't even know that subconsciously being doing it, you can't see yourself. Unless you have developed that clarity, you have cultivated your mind in meditation. That's why when you have the wisdom, then, you know, you can see. So that's actually to working with one's defilements is not easy. So to look inside, the more we understand ourselves, to look in, rather than, you know, thinking that your problem is outside. So the object is not the problem. What we experience in this moment is not the problem. Actually, the problem is how we react to the object in this moment. The problem is how we react. And that's where all the we add on, you know, that is to look at our reaction. So then it's easier to, you know, to change ourselves than to try to change everything outside. It's impossible. We can't change all the people around us, isn't it? You'll be very tired. You try to change everyone around you up to your standards, you know, to live up to your expectation. You're just creating suffering for yourself. You just accept the person as the person is. I remember when, like many years ago, someone like used to irritate me a lot. Like I feel very agitated with this person, and I find that actually ultimately I'm the one who suffers so much. You know, I remember actually the moment when I accept this person as this person is. It's such a relief for me. Then after that, you know, whatever this person do doesn't irritate me anymore. Sometimes I even laugh, because you can't change that person. You because it's too much suffering. You try to change the people around you to change, you know, to just accept the way they are. It's just the way they are, you know. It's just like, you know, that's why people ask me that, how you train your nun? I said, I never train them. They train themselves, you know. I can't train people, isn't it? I can't. You have to train yourself. I'm only there to give them the support, to give them the encouragement, you know, to give them, you know, the support to try to help them. That's all. But ultimately, they have to do the work. And the same thing, all of you have to do the work. And I can only talk. I cannot walk for you. I can only walk for myself, you know. So that's why, you know, ultimately, you know, if you want to free ourselves, we really have to work with our own defilements, we have to look in. So the more we understand ourselves, the better we understand others. We become a kinder and more compassionate person because we understand the suffering of others, then become more compassionate and a kinder person. So the wiser you are, naturally, you'll be happy. A wise person is a happy person. A happy person is a wise person. So I offer this for your reflections. May this teaching be of benefit to you. So any questions or comments? Or you can, tonight the Q&A, you can write in the piece of paper. So tonight we have Q&A. Yes? Oh yes, it's just that, you know, sometimes it's okay, like, you know, we don't have to show that, oh, I'm tough, you know, it's okay, sometimes we are not tough, okay, it's just, you know, sometimes we can, you know, you can hold, you know, because sometimes we don't believe, I personally don't believe in punishment. Sometimes kindness is the best, you know, that the ingredients, you know, to help someone. It's not like a punishment. So I think it's just like, you know, if people sometimes you feel that you need to hug a teddy bear, you can, you just hug them. Ah, you feel good. Yes?
So negative emotion.
Yeah.
Could you just reiterate the idea of letting go again?
Oh, the negative emotion, the letting go, that first of all, you have to develop the clarity to be able to see. Because sometimes when you haven't established your mindfulness, you don't have the clarity, you don't even know that sometimes you're reacting, you develop a certain habitual pattern that subconsciously we are doing it, we're reacting it, or we behave in a certain way. We can only let go when we have the clarity, we'll be able to see our certain behavior pattern, then we acknowledge that, yes, this is something that I need to work with. It's okay that I, you know, it's okay. Because sometimes we cannot accept, we not be able to acknowledge because come from the sense of self. How come I have this? Like sometimes, especially those experienced meditator, I already meditate for so many years, I shouldn't have this anymore, you know. You know, I shouldn't. No, you know, it's just, you're just not there, you know. Just acknowledge that. And then you come to a place of acceptance. You should accept and forgive and let go. You cannot just say, I let go. Like, you cannot. But most people, they think that they let go, actually, they're getting rid of things. I remember some people have this idea of, I don't want to attach to my children. So I ask my children to move out. So I don't attach to them. This is not letting go. You don't get rid of them. You know, it's not letting go. It's not getting rid of things. You know, actually letting go, you accept things, you allow things be. It's okay. The person, the way the person is okay. We love that person as the person is. We accept the person as the person is. It's okay. We embrace. We make peace.
So fighting is not accepting.
Yes. Yes, yes, yeah. You can feel, you know, for example, like how I feel when I accept that person. I that moment I feel so good. I feel my whole body relaxed. I feel like, you know, when you're holding on to something, you feel a lot of, you know, the tightness in your chest. You feel like, you know, and the moment you say, ah, it's okay. You know, then you feel, such a relief. You feel like you're free. This is how you feel. If you let go of something, this is how you feel.
Okay, so at the moment I feel like revenge and anger and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear you saying is that, okay, that's how you are now.
Yes.
So don't fight.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Sometimes if you, some people... And then, you know, some people when they recognize and they know that they're not able to let that go, and they got upset with themselves. So, you know, so sometimes that you say, oh, that they keep scolding themselves. You should be able to let go, and they keep forcing themselves. Like, it's okay. So you just acknowledge that, yes, I'm not be able to let go now. Is this yet? So then you send loving kindness towards yourself. May I be able to let go one day. May I be able to forgive one day. but not forcing yourself to forgive. I should be able to forgive. You can. Rather accepting yourself that I'm not be able to let go yet. But you know that this is something that we need to work with, but I'm not there yet. So accepting that, and sending loving kindness to oneself that maybe one day I'll be able to forgive. I remember there was a lady, so funny, and then she was going through a separation with her husband because she was having an affair with another guy. And then he said, you know, what bothered me, what irritated me that he couldn't forgive me, last time he had done something wrong, I'd be able to forgive him. And then now he's not able to forgive me. I can't take it. Is that like, it's really bothered me that he cannot forgive me that I have done something wrong, I already apologized and da-da-da, but he not be able to forgive me. Then I look at her. I said, can you forgive him not able to forgive you? It's easy for you. We cannot force someone that you should be able to forgive me. I mean, they can't, isn't it? So I said, why not you look at it that you forgive him for the fact that he cannot forgive you. It's okay, we forgive him for not be able to forgive you. But rather than you think that he should be able to forgive me, that this is how we think that people should, or I should be able to do that. I mean, we can't. I mean, theory we all understood, isn't it? But doing it is another thing. Talking about it is easy. Doing it is very difficult, So it's okay. Then we've been kind to ourselves. Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not be able to let go. But I hope that, I send loving kindness to myself. I wish I'd be able to let go one day. Now I'm not be able to let go. It's okay. Actually, it stopped there. If not, your mind go on and on and on. Actually, you reinforce that tendency. So is it answer your questions?
Mm-hmm. I've read that you're supposed to have compassion for them, but then to my way of thinking, I should have compassion for me. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, where's the compassion? I don't get that.
Okay. So I just give you an example. So I have a relative, and she was being abused by her husband for many years, and eventually she left her husband. And she also started to practice and she meditated, and then she tried to send loving kindness to her ex-husband. So she talked to me, she said, I find it very difficult because whenever I try to do that, it's all the horrible things that it just pops up, that how come I have loving kindness to someone that abused me? And then I told him, I said, you don't have to send loving kindness towards him. And you have loving kindness towards yourself. So you acknowledge that, you cannot force yourself to do that if you're not, your mind is not ready, you're not able to let go yet. So I said, you just said that, may I have compassion, may I have loving kindness towards this person. So that is easier to do that than to try to have compassion or loving kindness towards that person. Sometimes we are not there yet, you see. We are still, there are different levels, even our quality, our kindness, our compassion, we have different levels. But we are not that, the Buddha's level, like the Buddha said, if you have even a thought of ill will towards the person who abused you, torture you, you are not following my footsteps, you are not practicing loving kindness, but we are not there yet. You know what I mean? So we all have that quality. It's just that we are just different level we are developing. So then we just recognize that, we just acknowledge, and it's difficult for me to have compassion towards that person, but we send loving kindness towards ourselves. May I have compassion towards that person one day? Maybe not right now. So actually, loving kindness and compassion actually has to include ourselves as well. A lot of people exclude. That's why the Buddha said, you never sacrifice yourself for others. You love yourself as, and other people. You have to include yourself. So when you truly practice loving kindness, be also kind to ourselves. Okay. Is the answer your question? Stillness is that because the reason why our mind not be able to be still because we get caught up, for example, like because we are not mindful, we not be able to see that sometimes these unpleasant feelings and we get caught up and then we suck into the thinking and the mind go on and on and on. So when you start to develop the mindfulness to be able to see that, then you make peace with that, then your mind becomes still. You don't get pulled in. Then that's right, you have to have the mindfulness, then your mind becomes still. Then you not get affected. You are not controlled by the object outside. Because you're aware of that, and then you're aware of this, sometimes those unwholesome thoughts of this arises that moment, actually that thoughts leads you to more suffering. You'll be able to see that. Then you're not affected by that. You know that this is unwholesome thoughts and it will lead you to more suffering and leads you to negative emotions. So you bring your mind back. You just bring your mind back to this moment. Just stay with this moment and not to get caught up and not to get drawn in. So then your mind becomes peaceful, at ease and at peace at this moment. Because all the time, we not be able to stay in present moment awareness. We always, you know, running away, distract ourselves, you know, doing this, doing that. So we just bring our mind back. Because of that understanding, because we know that this is not really good for our well-being, you know, it's not really good for us. It leads to more suffering. Then we're not affected by that. Then their mind becomes, you can stay still. So as you develop the stillness, then your mind becomes stronger. You become still, become more steady and firm still. And then you know, when it's helped you in your mindfulness as well, because it strengthens your mindfulness. Because when you be able to see that and you be able to say no, because sometimes even we aware of things, our mind is not strong enough to be able to say a no to things. We somehow even be aware of that. How many times we scold ourselves? We say, "Oh, why I still get caught up? Why I still do that?" You know, because we haven't, our mind is not still not steady enough. So you need to have the stillness. The stillness gives you the strength, the steadiness, you know, becomes really firm, but not affected by things outside. You don't get caught and get drawn in, you know. Especially do negative emotion, leads to negative emotion, especially those thoughts that is unwholesome thoughts that leads to, because usually whatever, whenever there's a feelings or sensation, whatever, you know, that unpleasant feelings or pleasant feelings come us, it's always followed by thoughts. We think about it, you know, and we make up a lot of story, but we are not going to get, we don't get caught up with that. Then you become peaceful, because that helped your mind become peaceful. Because if not constantly, our mind keep running away from the present moment awareness. If bring your mind back to this present moment awareness, just be with this moment. Okay? Is the answer a question? So any more questions? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have now let go of that, and I try not to get love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've had a big weight lifting off my shoulders because I'm no longer carrying them around anymore. But at the same time, when I see that person, they say these horrible things to me all the time. It's my mother, and I love her dearly, but and there's never no positive. It's always negative. So it still hurts a lot. So over time, will that hurt, that negative emotion of pain, of her negative to me, go away?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is it the intensity of that, is it reduced?
It's a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I can control my emotions a lot better because I'm not holding on to it.
Okay.
But
okay.
It still hurts.
Yeah. So that's why, because this is a gradual training. So it's just like I give the simile of that in a fire. If you are not, now you are not reacting, you know, so it doesn't mean that this will go away. It won't go away immediately. It takes time. It's just like when we react, I can use another simile like a ball, you know. When we react, it's just like we're kicking the ball. When we kick the ball spins. Even we stop kicking, the ball still spins. But it becomes slower. And we continue to practice, we keep continue to practice. Eventually, it's the energy, wear, the energy wear out. And slower, it stops. This is how it works. You cannot get it, but this is how you have to keep working with that. You have to keep strengthening your mental muscles. You have to build up. It's not overnight. It's just like the same thing. You build up your mental muscles and building your body. It's the same. You know, it takes time. You can't say that, I do one day, I rest 3 days, and I do it again, I rest 3 days, and do it. You will never build up your muscles. By whether your body muscles or your mental muscles. So it's okay, very good, you know. At least that is a improvement, you have progress. So sometimes it's good that you appreciate that how far you have come to, how much you have achieved. And sometimes give yourself that, well done, very good. Sometimes I find that many people, they don't appreciate themselves at all, you know. Sometimes learn to appreciate ourselves. Sometimes you just pat on yourself like, good, well good, well done, very good, well done. To learn to appreciate oneself, actually, we don't know how to appreciate ourselves, you know, to appreciate that how much you have done. And this is a positive emotion, and that give you a lot of happiness. And when you feel happy, you have more energy, you have more clarity, and it's helped to strengthen your mindfulness. And you become really peaceful. Like the Buddha said, there's two kinds of happiness, unwholesome happiness and wholesome happiness. Unwholesome happiness is the happiness come from like the senses, or you feeding your certain happy chair pattern, you get addicted to something, yes, they give you that temporary relief, you know, but that leads you to more suffering. So that this kind the Buddha called this unwholesome happiness. Wholesome happiness, like, you know, you're being helpful, you're being kind, you know, or you meditate, you know, and this kind of happiness, you feel happy, and this kind of happiness that leads you to peace, leads you to calm. So then sometimes when we have this quality, like being appreciative, like have gratitude, and this is wholesome quality, this spiritual qualities that give you lots of inspiration, and that give you, when we're happy, when we're happy, our mind is bright, isn't it? And we have lots of energy. So the happiness comes from the energy, because our energy is not draining. Because like the negative thoughts actually drains lots of energy, use up lots of mental energy. So when we've developed this, you know, be reflecting on this and contemplating, you know, appreciating oneself and others, you know, we have these qualities, you know, and then this is positive emotion. And when we have this happiness, and you have this energy, you have lots of energy, and you feel bright, and it's helped to strengthen your mindfulness. So then your mindfulness becomes stronger, strengthen your mindfulness. So as your mindfulness strengthens, your stillness also, you become more still. You become more settled. Your mind becomes still. Then when your mind becomes still, and then the wisdom arises. Your mind becomes still, then you have the clarity. Then you'll be able to see things much more. That's where that's what we said, wisdom born of stillness. When your mind still, become peaceful, that's where your insight arises that moment when you're completely still. So any more questions or comments? Yes.
Your thoughts are different to your inner monologue. And so you try to calm your inner monologue so your thoughts are just thoughts?
Yes. Yeah, because sometimes that we get pulled in, you know, and then we start to suck into the thoughts, and then, you know, and then we give meaning to, because whatever, you know, thing arises, actually it will pass away, especially some these thoughts, you just, okay, we just acknowledge that it's just a thought, and then you bring your mind back, just being with this present moment, just bring your mind back. Any more questions or comments? Then maybe we can meditate now. So I think lunch is 11, isn't it? Yeah, 11. Lunch is 11. Okay. So those who like to do some walking meditation, so you're welcome to do so, or you want to start to meditate and sit in meditation, you can do so.